Yeah, I have a key. For those who are listening to a podcast, that's Mark. Mark's going to be quiet today in honor of my recovery. I just want to tell you, you know, being an alcoholic, I just thought, well, you know, they'll go in and put in a new knee. You know, it's right. You know, it's not a big deal. Wow, what a son of a bitch. Anyway, I'm recovering, and the first 2 weeks were something else. They put you to sleep, you know, before they do these things, and they give you a block to the thigh, and then they give you a spinal tap. And so they say, we're going to take you into the OR, doctor, and then we'll do the spinal tap there. So I don't remember too much, but they wheel me in, and I'm on this thing, and I'm holding this nurse leaning over, and I see this table with these mallets and saws and hatchets and all this crap. So I turned and I said, oh my God, what is going on here? And you know what the anesthesia said to me? Good night, doctor. And there you go. Anyway, I'm glad I had it done. I missed you guys. And Stu did a great job. And let's give him a hand. And that's why we started this meeting years ago. So Stu came and he sat right where Jimmy was, and I met him 2 3/4 years, and he's been coming and he knows the deal, and I'm really, really proud of him. It's good to see Lori. She was here, what, 4.5 years ago, right, Lori? And other people makes me happy to see that we've been helping people. Thank you. Today we're on step 11, and I copied from Carry This Message by Joe McHugh. You can get this book on Amazon, and Joe is from the Joe and Charlie, and this is how he sponsors people. He helps, how he talks to sponsees and sponsors, and it has a nice perspective. Tomorrow night, God willing, we're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago when there is a solution, and we're going to look at Roland Hazard and Dr. Young and how we're here today. Powerful stuff. On Wednesday night, we had finished sex inventory instructions, and we're going to be doing the second step proposition on fear inventory. Anybody have fear? And how we look at the question, is God everything or nothing? And how we list our fears. And for those who haven't participated in that, it's great stuff. It's how we look at our fears and how we put them in perspective and how we say the prayers and we're free from fear. So today it says continuing to grow. Anybody want to continue to grow? Because remember, if we don't change, our sobriety date will, right? All right, we got that out of the way. And it says, I was to test my thinking by my new God consciousness within. Now notice the word within. My God consciousness has always been there for me. It says deep down inside of every human being is the fundamental idea of God, but we blocked it out. And so he has new thinking from his new consciousness. He's aware of the power that he's had. He lived his whole life, Bill W., as if it wasn't there. And he was living with self-consciousness, self-awareness. And it says, common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I like that. I'm not sure I know what it means. But the old ideas that I have been replaced by new ones. I see things differently now. I try to react differently than I did. I don't always assume that I'm right. I don't assume that my thinking's right. I assume that if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. So it's changed. Our what we used to think made sense doesn't make sense anymore. And we were doing things that made sense to us, but not to other people. It says, I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. I don't think there's a better line summarizing what the whole deal is, right? I have to sit quietly so that I can hear God. And I have to be quiet. I have to quiet my mind when in doubt. And the only thing I want all the time is direction and strength to meet whatever's in front of me from God. And I think that's on page 12 or 13 of Bill's story. I didn't look it up. And so now he's going to talk about steps 10, 11, and 12. We're going to cover part of this today, and then next week we're going to cover the spiritual axiom, whenever I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me, in step 10 from the 12 and 12, and then we're going to continue with this handout. It's good stuff. Step 10 is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And I used to think that all I needed to do is go around and I admit whenever I was wrong and say I was sorry all day long. That has nothing to do with what this step is about. I'm going to take my inventory, my personality all day long. We're going to talk about that. And when my thinking's wrong, I admit it to myself, to God, and another human being. And then step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as we understood him. We just talked about we're now aware of the God consciousness within us. And now we want to improve our relationship with God and our conscious contact with him, gaining more knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. If I have God's knowledge of his will for me and the power, and I have power to carry that out, and I do that every day, my life is going to be fine. And then step 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So the result of the steps is an awakening to the spirit, to the God consciousness within. That's the result. There's only one result in AA of the steps. It's the spiritual awakening. And it says, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics. In the original, it says, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics. I think it's easier to carry this message to alcoholics than to others sometimes. But and then this is the third part of step 12, practice the principles in all my affairs. Am I practicing the principles in all my affairs? And what does that mean? And then he says, we learn by listening. That's how I learn. We learn by example what we see others do, and we learn by experience of what we've done, and then we learn by showing someone else what we did. So listening, the example of others, our experience of what we've learned, and then showing someone else what you actually did. That's what 10 and 11, 12 are all about. That's what the whole deal is all about. We used to have a joke when I was internship and residency. We had attending physicians that would, you know, they'd make rounds with us, and we were always smart asses, and we knew everything, and we thought some of the attendings weren't very smart and this and that. Can't imagine, can you? And we used to say that you can have 1 year's experience 30 times, or you can have 30 years' experience. And think about that. That's the key. If you're sober 20 years, do you have 20 years of experience of working the steps or not? Or do you have 1 year's experience? It says step 10 is not a new step. In a way, it's a summary of all the steps that have come before. Step 10 is how we continue to grow. I've always wondered, there's some people who go to the meetings and say, well, I don't really need to work the steps and this and that, you know, blah, 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 I don't like the big book, whatever. That's fine. I don't think they have what I have, because what I have, I need to do step 10, and I need to do it all the time. Step 10 is where I look at myself all day long in my thinking and try to get right with God and others in the world. And it says how we continue to grow, it's a way to live. If we want to remain sober, we will have to continue to grow. Now, I think you can stay sober and miserable. That's certainly an option AA. I don't recommend it, but you can be sober and be miserable in AA. We celebrate how long we've been physically sober, but what we really need to celebrate is emotional sobriety. How we're doing with our lives, how's our relationship with other people, how we're reacting, how we're living our lives. And they talk about maintenance, and people used to talk about 10-11. Well, I do 10-11 as my maintenance step, and it sounds good, but what does that really mean? Because it says on page 84, we need to grow in understanding and effectiveness in the world of the Spirit. And then it says we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. On page 85, remember, it says alcohol is a subtle foe. We're not cured. We have a daily reprieve, which means stay of execution, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Now, the paragraph above that says that if we're going to react normally to alcohol, we have to be in fit spiritual condition. So you have to maintain a fit spiritual condition. You can't maintain a fit spiritual condition by not staying fit, right? If you're not doing the deal every day, you fall back. I was in pretty good health before I had this surgery. You know, I swam and this and that, pretty. After 10 days staying in bed, sitting in a chair, you really lose your stamina quickly. And so your disease is continuing. Alcohol, your disease is always there. If you don't maintain fit spiritual condition, the disease will get ahead of you. Remember that thermometer, Joe and Charlie have that handout I've given. It shows you have emotional problems, alcoholics. Anybody have emotional problems in here? We let our emotions build up. And they have this thermometer. And like, how high do your emotions go before they'll overcome and you'll drink? What level? How high can they go? Well, if you're not in fit spiritual condition, your emotions don't have to get very high for you to drink. And so we want to maintain a fit spiritual condition. And it's maintenance is not holding steady. It's maintaining through growing. And then I remember Jan's not here. He's been coming on Wednesday night. But years ago, he gave me this this handout on spiritual growth. And it talked about how when people start their spiritual growth, they don't have any spiritual energy or exercise. They don't have any spiritual. They haven't done anything. And he says, the more you do it, the more you grow. And it's like working out. If you're going to run a mile in 5 minutes, you don't do it the first time. You have to work it out over time. And so anybody pray every morning routinely, have quiet time, do their meditations? Stop doing it for a few days and see how your mornings go. You know, it's not the kind of thing we can let up off on. We have to remember, we're powerless over alcohol, always. And so I have to remember that too. Maintaining our spiritual condition requires growth. Joe and Charlie talk about this. Everything in nature either grows or withers. If we don't continue to grow spiritually in our sobriety, we're going to get worse. When a person starts working, and remember we talked about step zero? It's from when you're given the grace of God to stop drinking till you've worked the steps. How long can you go before you drink again? And then how many steps do you need to work to keep from drinking? And then how many steps do you need to work to feel, have a happy, useful life? There's different questions. When a person starts working step 10, he learns more. I think this is when he should start sponsoring other people. That's what he says. I agree. He's now familiar with using the steps, and he's fresh. He can become a good sponsor. We tend to wait too long to have people get into step 10. I have people read it right away and listen to the podcast because it's what we're trying to do. But until you've worked 4 through 9, you don't really understand the principles on how to deal with resentment and fear and your character defects. But you can start. And it says that most people don't sponsor in the first year, so probably never sponsor. I think there are people in this room that are probably not sponsoring, that could be sponsoring. They'll have to ask themselves why they're not doing it. We've been given a gift. I think it's the most selfish thing if you're not giving your gift away. And I believe if you're not giving it away, you don't keep it after a while. And so think about that. We're always looking for people to help sponsor the new people who come in here. He says, I think sponsorship should begin when we're fresh off the steps and have a new experience to share. A lot of people ask people to sponsor them because of the number of years of sobriety they have. I think what you really need to know is, have they worked the steps? Have they worked the steps out of the book? What is their experience that they have to share with you? Because that's all you're going to get is their experience, strength, and hope. We may forget, it says when your sponsor gets to step 10, he or she should probably start sponsoring. I know we have some people here who's sponsoring that, like, we've taken them through the steps, and they're taking people through the steps now, and you come here on tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and you'll see people out in the hall and down the hall and together working the steps, and it's exciting. We don't get any growth following step one. Step one isn't a lot of fun, is it? Anybody want to do step one all the time? But we do. We have to live step one in our minds all the time, that I'm powerless over alcohol. I will never have power over alcohol, ever. My life will always be unmanageable by me. The only thing I have a choice to do today is to seek the power of God that gives me the choice over alcohol. But step one is an experience, right? And people say, well, they're working on step one. Joan Sarley says, you work on it out there. My sponsor, first sponsor, Cliff, says, give them more booze. But the step one is your experience. Are you powerless over alcohol? Has your life become unmanageable? Now, the big book takes 58 pages, about 50 pages, to explain what that means to the new person. And then step two is to believe that you can change, that there's hope for you. And you don't really grow from step two, but you become willing to believe. So pain makes us willing to change in step one. Step two is, I believe I can change. Why? Because I see people here that have changed. And that's where you learn by example. And then we talk a lot about step three. I've heard people working on step three. I don't know how you work on step three. You either decide that God's going to run your life or not. How long do you need to think about that if your life is completely screwed up and your life is an effing mess? You're going to say, well, gee, do I really want God to run my life? And you know, when you think about it in those terms, it doesn't make sense. The big book has three pages describing what a life run on self-will looks like, and then asks you if you're ready to make a decision. And all the decision is that you don't want to run the show anymore. You're going to have a new employer. It's God. You work for God. You're going to stay close to God and do his work well, and he's going to give you everything you need. Anybody think that's a good deal? And the other thing God has is worry. So God has all your worries, and he'll give you everything you need, and all you have to do is stay close to him and do his work well. Now, how do you stay close to God? You don't know that. So that's how you do steps 4 through 9. So you learn how to stay close to God and do his work, not your work, well. And it says all the personality changes begin after the action steps. And remember, if you've made a decision to change, what's happened to you? Nothing. Because you just made a decision. You have to take the action to change. The process of recovery from alcoholism is to be willing to change, believe you can change, decide to change, and then take the actions of the steps to change. And then you are changed. And that's where we go from belief to faith and trust. So step four is the first step that gives us a change. It helps us look at our thinking, our fears, our resentments, our conduct. It helps us face and be rid of the things that are blocking us from God. And step five is where it says it gives us a personality change. If you read the step five promises, they're pretty powerful on page, I think, 75. They tell us that we have a new relationship with our Creator, that we've put the cement in place for a new way of seeing things. And 6, 7, 8, 9 is how we continue to change. 6 and 7 is how we look at our thinking all the time, our character defects. Anybody have a card? And are we willing to be on the left-hand or the right-hand side of the card? Am I willing to be the personality God created or me? And I don't know how to change from being the personality I created except to stop and say, God, change me. Help me change. And then 8 and 9 is how we get right with the world. Anybody have any amends to make when they come in here? Has anybody harmed anybody? Well, that's how we get right with the world. So step 10 is how you do all these steps. Now, for those who haven't been, if you go to page 84, if you get on the site experiencethebigbook.org, you listen to the podcast on page 84, there's one paragraph that tells you how to live one day at a time. And the acronym is WADAT. You watch for your self-centeredness. You ask God to remove your self-centeredness at once. You discuss whatever's bothering you with another human being. You make amends, and you turn your thoughts to someone you can help. It's like 80 words or 90 words that cover how you live one day at a time. It says, I wrote here, when people get a sponsor, what are they seeking? You know, everybody tells you you get a sponsor, but they don't tell you what you need a sponsor for. A sponsor in the beginning was the guy who paid your hospital bill when you went to Akron. They paid the hospital bill, $25. The sponsor for the Oxford group was someone who said, this is a person who wants to change. We want him to come to the meeting. We want him to change. The sponsor in the beginning of AA was you did your third step with the sponsor, and you made a commitment to change, and then they took you to the meeting. And so as a sponsor, someone who shares their experience. And the big book, this book, anybody like the big book? It's a testimony to the world of their experience. This is the sponsorship of the people who wrote the book to the world. That's why we study it. Now, you don't have to like the book. You don't have to read it. You don't have to agree with it. But it's their experience. It's their testimony. And so that's why we study it, because it has the specific directions. It says, the more we take steps 4 and 5 in doing step 10, the more we learn about them and the better we become. When I work with new people and I listen to their fourth and fifth steps, and you know, it's the same stuff over and over again. You can see your stuff over and over again. And you can see the stuff that's going on with you now. It's the same stuff. And how we, Chuck C. says, what do we become better at? Uncovering, discovering, and discarding all those things that aren't the real personality that God gave me. And so I get better at uncovering and discovering, discarding. I used to like to hold on and carry on all my crap. Now I want to get rid of it. As we ask God to remove the character defects in 6 and 7, these defects become fewer and fewer. I'm not sure if that's true for me. I don't know that they're fewer. I think I still have them. But they don't have as much power over me. I don't hold on to them. I see them quickly. If I'm ever disturbed, there's something wrong with me. I'm over here. I'm always either judging. I'm good at judging. I'm very inconsiderate at times. I can see what's wrong with everybody in the world. And I see things through self-centered eyes. And how do I feel? I get disturbed. Now, disturbed is bad. We say if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. It doesn't mean that I have to like everything that I see. I don't have to like it. But I don't have to be disturbed by it. There's a difference. I was disturbed my whole life by things I saw. They disturbed me. Now they can just exist. If it bothers me a lot, I can call Mark. You know, I can talk to God. I can call Norm. I change the way I see it. I don't have to be disturbed anymore. Disturbed is not good for an alcoholic. Mark and I were talking, alcoholics never react, we always overreact. In fact, we should call this Overreactors Anonymous. We overreact to everything. I like this. It took me a while to understand it, but somebody said we pole vault over mouse turds. Anybody get it? I was the only one. No, nobody liked that. All right. Yeah, and I can make anybody sit in their chair at home and can make a mouse turn into a mountain in like 25 seconds. Yeah, we're good at that. All right. I'll stop with the mouse turds. I don't even know what they look like. It says, as we make amends. All right, stop it. Listen, I'm not well. Leave me alone. As we make amends for the harms we've done to other people, our relationships with other people improve. So how can you tell how your recovery is working? See how people react to you. See how you're getting along with people. See how you're doing at work or in other situations. The continuous working of the steps will keep us free of the things that block us from God. Notice continuous working. And I wrote, I have freedom from letting go. Sandy Beach says the whole program is two words, letting go. What am I going to hold on to, or what am I going to let go of? When I hold on to things, they block me from God. When I let go, God can work inside of me. I'm just going to go on a little bit. Once we have practiced steps 1 through 9, we have skills to develop a personal inventory. Now, I really like this. The word personal in step 10 suggests it's more than the inventory we took of our thought processes in step 4. In step 4, I inventoried my whole life thinking, running my life of self-will, my resentments, my fears, all the harms I did to people. Wow, it was not pretty. But the step 10 is where you look at your life every day. Now, I know there's some people like to do 4 steps all the time. They do like the every 6 months 4 steps or every year 4 steps. I don't have an opinion on that. But I want to do my step 4 every day. I want to do my personal inventory every day. I don't want to carry stuff around till tomorrow. And remember on page 86, it talks about the nightly review, and we review our day, and then we ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures. The idea behind 10 and 11 is to deal each day with your alcoholism and face it and be rid of the things that are blocking you and go to bed at night, wake up and start the day fresh and pray and ask God to direct your thinking. We don't want to carry around a lot of crap. Now, if you have a bad day on Monday and you're carrying around on Tuesday, whose fault is that? You see, it's our fault. I don't have to do that anymore. I have these steps 10, 11. I can get rid of it every day. Now, we don't always do that. Of course not. But after a while, we say, what's the value in being disturbed on Tuesday from something that happened on Monday? That's ridiculous. Stupid. So I say, Michael, stop it. So it's a broad inventory that examines the life I live each day. How am I doing each day? So I inventory my personality minute by minute. And personal means private and unique to the individual, the one that fits me. And it also doesn't mean you're going to inventory your significant others. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. No. And it stays to me. It's me. If I'm disturbed, what's wrong with me? Inventory my thinking all the time. And in a good personal inventory, the individual can see his relationship with himself, with God, and with everyone and everything he interacts with. And when you look at night, it says, were you kind and loving? What could you have done better? What should you have done instead, right? Where were you selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid? You look at your day and you say, you know, how did you do? And they used to fill out a sheet in the old days, Dr. Bob. They had this little card they carried around, and they'd have their character defects, and they'd check them off when they occurred. And then at night, they talk about it and they pray about it. It's the same thing we're talking about with this list. And it says he can gain a unique understanding of where problems may occur. So you may already know where you're going to start getting disturbed. If you've done this a while, you know when you're starting to get bothered. You can feel it. You know, you can say, oh, well, here it comes, and then you don't have to pay attention to it. Somebody talks about letting this train go through the station. You know, it doesn't have to stop. It can go through. We don't have to focus on these things anymore, which is a power I did not have on my own. I have a power now. My spiritual awakening has given me a power that I don't have to let the train stop. I have a choice to let it go. And when I was in my alcoholism, I didn't have a choice. They just stopped there and they stayed there and they just backed up. It was like a Grand Central Station in there. It says throughout the big book, it says the more you learn about yourself, the better you can interact with the world, with everything around him, his family, his job, his friends, and other people. So to summarize all this, you don't come into AA, you don't work steps 1 through 9, become perfect, enter the world of the Spirit, and your life is great. Now, it's a continuous program of recovery. Has to be done all the time. I think there's that there's a chapter in the big book. That's Mark, by the way.
You can't
rest on your laurels, and you have to do the spiritual work every day. And so the three dimensions of life, the spiritual, our very core, the mental, the life of our mind, the physical and social, the visible part of our lives. And I just want to turn the page, and if you look at this. The three dimensions of life, this chart, and we'll pick this up with this next week. We get ourselves in right order. It says on page 77, it says, what are you trying to do in AA? It says we're trying to put our life in order. Anybody think that's a good idea? So the first thing we put in order with is God. And that's how we do it in steps 1, 2, 3. God's going to be God. I'm not going to be God. Then I put my mind in order in right relationship with God, 4, 5, 6, and 7, by unblocking and getting rid of all the things that are blocking me from God. And then I get right with the world in steps 8 and 9 by making amends in my relationships with other people. So I hope this was helpful. I'm kind of tired. I'm going to stop here and we'll open up. It's good to see everybody, and I'll try to make it tomorrow.